Planet After Story is one of my favorite anime series of all time. It's emotionally captivating and is full of meaningful and heartfelt characters. I love this show. I can't even go on enough about how I love watching Tomoya, Nagisa, and everybody in the show grow and interact with each other. This show is amazing. I can't say that enough. There's a lot of I love about this show. I love this show more than I love the original series. And there's some parts of the show where I felt like I was the person in the show. Like where when Nagisa dies, when Ushio dies, when Tomoya collapses, those moments are some of the most emotional moments in any medium. It's insane how good this show is at tugging at your heartstrings and getting you to feel something, because a lot of these moments are the kind of moments where if you don't feel something, I have to question your humanity. It just isn't like there's so many things that this show does right. The style is the same. The characters look the same. The only thing that looks different is the robot in the illusionary world. He looks more finished. He looks more polished a little bit. That's the only thing. Everybody else looks roughly the same. The style looks the same. The OP is really good. The song is really good. I kind of like the song. It's better than the original song. I like it a little bit more. It's not as memorable, but I think it's a better song, like in a technical way. I think it's a better song. But I do wish that they changed the OP after Nagisa died, because the OP is all focused around Nagisa. Like the first image you see when the OP starts is Nagisa, and she fades away, and then it shows shots of her over and over again. And then, which is fine, but after she dies, she's not really the vocal point of the show anymore. So having her be there is just kind of weird. Maybe it's just to remind you, oh, she's dead. This person's not here anymore. And we're trying to remind you that this person isn't here. So make you feel sad. Like, just make you feel sad. Like, oh no, she's gone. And a lot of people don't like Nagisa that much. It's so odd the amount of times I see people going, Nagisa's the worst. I don't like Nagisa. She's like a fish stick. She's the worst person. I watched a video before, and they were talking about how Nagisa is she's a plastic bag with a face. And I don't understand that. Maybe it's just because of her personality. She's so shy, and people are like, how could anybody like her? She doesn't do anything for herself, which is false for me. She's still like timid and shy at the end of the series, like when she dies, she's still shy and all that stuff. But there's things about her that are different. The thing that I point to is when Nagisa and Tomoya are, like, when Nagisa becomes pregnant and Tomoya and Nagisa tell Akio and Sanae. So Tomoya's like really, like, timid, like really, really doesn't want to do it. He is just super not, he just does not want to tell Akio. He's just super, no, I don't want to do that. Super embarrassed, super no. And Nagisa is like, just yells out, me and Tomoya had sex, and sex makes babies. And that's something that Nagisa, like first episode, original series Nagisa, would never ever say out loud without almost fainting of embarrassment. And it's really odd that Nagisa is like seen as like the worst. Her dying, like her death was like depressing. I think Ushio dying was way worse, because it was like lightning striking twice in Tomoya's life, and it killed Tomoya. Like Ushio dying like killed Tomoya. Nagisa dying made all the progress that Tomoya had up to that point, how he became a different person, how he became a member of society, the society that he hated, and Nagisa made him a better person. when she died, he became the person that he was at the beginning. He regressed. He went from work to home. That's all he did. He drank. He became alcoholic. He smoked. And he was just, he couldn't even look at his daughter. His daughter reminded him too much of Nagisa. He basically became his father, the person that he could not even look at and could not even talk to. He just hated him. And he became him. And it was just, it was bad. But when Ushio died, he died. I think it's implied in the series that he killed himself later, but I think the idea that he collapsed and died right there is more impactful, because as soon as he dies, and I do not really want to get into the complexity of this show, like the ending, because the ending is like confusing, and there's people that are way more qualified to talk about this show, talk about the ending, than me, that are not more qualified, but they're way more into it, and they invest a lot of time into studying everything, because the whole idea of the show, of like the ending, goes back to like Kotomi and her parents' research and like different worlds and parallel timelines, all that stuff, and it goes into that, and I don't want to go into that, but my, like, the ending is, to me, is Tomoya dies, and then he ends up on the hill again, and he's thinking about meeting Nagisa again. He's thinking about, oh, should I meet her? Should I spare her this fate? If I decide not to meet her, and we go our separate ways, and we never ever know each other, maybe we will. Maybe it'll end up better. Maybe our lives will be better, and she will live, and she won't have to die. Because I am the Tomoya thinks he's the reason why she died, and he regrets that. But right after that, he's thinking about that, and we go back to the illusionary world, and it's the girl and the robot. Then the girl is dying. She's dying. She's sitting on laying in the snow, and her eyes close, and she can finally hear the robot. The audience could hear the robot the entire time, like hear his voice, hear his thoughts, but she couldn't. So, and it's explained it's explained that she can hear him because her humanity is leaving her body. And so she's like, oh, I can hear you now. And the world begins to fall apart. She starts singing the Dongo family song, which is a song that Nagisa sang, and it's one of her favorite. The Dongo family is her favorite thing ever. And she starts singing that song. The world begins to crumble and fall apart. And then she calls the robot daddy. The robot is Tomoya, and the little girl is Ushio. And then after that happens, the world falls apart. Tomoya is on the hill again, and he decides to run after Nagisa and meet her. And right after that happens, Nagisa tells him that he should never regret meeting somebody. No one should ever regret meeting somebody. Never regret loving somebody. And it's just like, it's great. Like, and then right after that, he's taken back to the moment where Nagisa gives birth to Ushio. And Ushio is like, Ushio's born, and Nagisa lives. And Tomoya looks out the window, and he sees the lights, like the light orbs. And the light orbs are kind of a difficult, like, thing. They're basically explained as when someone makes somebody happy. Like, Tomoya helped people. He helped Kotomi. He helped all the girls. He helped his father in the end. He made his father happy. He convinced his father to go live with his mother. And, well, Tomoya's grandmother, his father's mother. And an orb appears. And only Ushio can see it. And it's absorbed into Tomoya. So the light orbs are basically are basically the manifestation of happiness. And so those orbs are out there in the world and they're floating from the city. And then you see a montage of all the life that Timoya and Nagisa and Ushio live, raising Ushio, and it's basically the Ushio that you see in episode 16, or when she's born to when she dies, is a different Ushio than the one that is born in episode 22, at the end of episode 22. And so they're all different people. And Tomoya technically knows all three versions of Ushio, because in the summary episode, which is episode 25, he tells the story of Ushio's birth and everything, but he remembers, he has distinct memories of Nagisa dying. He remembers everything from episode 16 to 22. He remembers everything. He remembers Ushio dying. He remembers everything. And he's just like, so it's explained as an alternative timeline, but I feel like it's more complex than that, where he's traveled from, he's not in a different timeline where he doesn't remember anything. He's more in a, I don't know how to explain it. He's traveled through all these timelines. Like, it's not like he's dying and then living in another timeline. He's like consciously aware of being in all these different timelines. Even if he doesn't understand it himself, he has been there. He's been in all these different timelines. And I think that's a way to explain the game, because this Clannad is based off a visual novel that came out in 2004, and it had like the same thing where you help every girl, you do all these things, and you collect light orbs. Once you get a certain amount of light orbs, after story is unlocked. So it's kind of a way to connect the game and the anime together, so they kind of make sense, like kind of like almost like a meta thing. I don't know if that's what it is. That's my take on it. There's an anime called Air that is also made by Key, which is the studio that created Clannad. And it's said that Air and Clannad are in the same universe, and they both have similar plots, like both main girl characters have a sickness that causes them to be weak and everything, and it's very similar. But I think that the plot of Air is explained more completely. In Clannad, it seemed to be where you're supposed to create the ending for itself. It's ambiguous on purpose. It's for the viewer to decide what is happening, and how the ending is. And I love, like I said before, I love this show, and I really don't understand it. I read a whole bunch of stuff, like right after I finished the 22nd episode, I read a whole bunch of stuff on the ending and everything and people's take on it. And there's a lot of crazy stuff out there. I want to tweet a lot of the links for those explanations of the ending and the analysis of it. But there's a lot. This show is so good. And like I said, the music that is played between scenes, like the playing during scenes, are really good. They're all memorable, and they add so much emotion to each scene. Like you have music for the tranquil moments, the lighthearted moments. You have music for the emotional moments, which a show like that's a drama is supposed to have. They have music that signifies emotional, kind of the emotions that the viewer is supposed to feel at that time. But they all work, and they're amazing. And one thing is I want to talk about too is the Kyo arc. There's an arc where it's an alternative timeline where Kyo confesses her love to Tomoya. And it starts out where Ryo, which is Kyo's sister, confesses her love to to Tamura, and they go out and everything, and he kind of half-heartedly accepts her confession. He's like, oh, sure, we can go out. And it's a really, really good episode. This is a couple that I would, that a lot of people would rather have seen than Nagisa. Kyo is like a kind of a better fit for Tomoya. Their interactions with each other are a lot better. I just like them. And they're just good. I mean, it's interesting. I kind of wish that every female character had this kind of timeline. Like, Tomoyo had one. And to be honest, when I watched the Tomoyo one that was in the original series, I thought that it was part of the series. I thought it was canon. So when I watched it, I was really confused. I was like, wait a minute, when did this happen? When did they date? And I was just like, really, really didn't understand it at all. And then I'm like, and I didn't find out that that was a alternative world, non-canon storyline. I didn't find that out until I watched this series. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That's odd. But a lot of this this show is, again, I can't say that enough. This show is amazing. I want to talk about Tomoya really quick and how he matured, because I really, really enjoyed watching Tomoya become a better person. Because in the beginning of the series, he hated society. He didn't want to go to school. He didn't really go to school. He was a delinquent. And after he met Tomoya, he became a better person. He became a great father because of her. And watching him is just amazing. I think he's one of the best written characters in anime. And Nagisa, her character, like I said before, she's very similar to the way she was at the beginning. She's come out of her shell a little bit, and it's proven that she is kind of a failure without Tomoya, because when she gets sick and has to repeat her last year again, she tries to make the drama club again, and no one joins. She makes all the signs. She makes signs like that are exactly similar to the ones she made during the first time they tried to create the drama club, and didn't work. Like, no one joined, and I'm like, oh, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. I guess it shows that they need each other, but I would prefer that she would at least get some people to join, maybe not get as many people as she needed, but get some people where she looks like she's improved a little bit, but she didn't get anybody. And one more thing that I need to talk about right now is Akio. Akio is the best dad in anime. He's the best. I think he's funny. Like, I think in this series, he's funnier in this series than he is in the original one, because he does like the rapper thing. He has to disguise himself when he goes to Nagisa's work, and it's just hilarious. Like, he's like, yo, and he acts like a rapper, and it's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Also, he has a lightsaber duel with his friend, and I think that scene put him over Vegeta as the best dad in anime. So, Vegeta from GT, that Vegeta. I really like Vegeta from GT. But he's the best. And this show, I can't say that enough. Show is amazing. If I had to rate this show, like, from out of 10, I would give it a 9.7 out of 10, which rates it below my favorite anime series of all time, which is Toradora. Toradora has a 10 out of 10. I don't think anything is going to beat Toradora. I will never give anything 11 out of 10. It'll be a hard road to get to that point. But like I said before, I'm going to put the links for the deeper stuff, the deeper explanations of the ending. I'm gonna try to tweet those out so people can read them and kind of figure out for themselves what the ending is. But that is my review for Planet After Story. Amazing show. This is not a super in-depth review. I just kind of touched on things I liked and kind of talked about it a little bit. This month, is going to be a big month for the show. I have a lot of reviews lined up. There may be some episodes in between the review episodes. The next thing I'm reviewing is Violet Evergarden, which is 13 episodes long. I just started it yesterday, and I'm ready for that. That will come out in about 4 days. 4 days from when this comes out, which is Monday, the 7th. So, big month, and I'm ready. I can't wait to finish Violet Evergarden and review it. See you guys later.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.